Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. I asked at the beginning of the service, do you still dream? Do you still have a vision of God and His kingdom in your life and in your family? And do you dream great dreams about His kingdom in your church? Winnie the Pooh and Piglet were walking together one evening, and as they were walking, they walked in silence for a long time. And finally, Piglet broke the silence and turned to Pooh, and he said, "When you wake up in the morning, Pooh, what's the first thing that you say to yourself?" Pooh answered, "What's for breakfast?" And then he asked Piglet, "What do you say when you wake up in the morning, Piglet?" Piglet responded, "I say to myself, I wonder what exciting thing is going to happen today. I wonder what exciting thing is going to happen today." Both Pooh and Piglet had a vision. They were different, but they both had a dream. They both had an idea of what to expect for the day. What do you say to yourself as you face a new day? And what do you say to yourself as you face a new year? Most of us approach a new year with a mental new beginning, a clean slate, a do-over, a start-over. And we approach the new year with hopes and dreams that things are going to be different this year than they were last year. That we're going to be a better person, that we're going to live a better life, that we're going to make a better effort to make a difference in who we are and in what we do. Many of us approach the new year with that kind of feeling. And there's nothing wrong with looking forward and having a dream and then resolving to work that dream out in life as the new year progresses. In fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, without a dream, without an expectation, people perish. There are no dreams, then there's nothing to motivate us to move on ahead. Without a vision, there's nothing to stir us up and to cause us to rise above the level of mediocrity that so many of us settle for day in and day out. Without a vision, the people perish. Some of us have already determined that we're going to leave 2008 in 2008. We're going to leave the past behind, and we're going to press on ahead to a brighter tomorrow. I don't know if you have, but I have. I kind of feel like Paul in my heart. Leaving the past behind, I want to press on to the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. I have a vision of something different, something better. Robert Dale has said that persons and organizations, including churches, persons and organizations are largely defined by their dreams. Persons and organizations, including a church, is often defined by its dreams. By their dreams. The best way to understand a Christian or a church is to discover their founding dream and any remnants of that original dream which continue to shape life and ministry. What is your dream? What is your vision for yourself, for your family, for your community, for your church? Do you have a vision of great things for tomorrow? Better yet, what is God's dream for your life? What is His vision for your family, for your community, and for your church? I have a graph up here on the screen that I want you to take a look at. Every Christian and every church moves through what is known as a cycle of life. And that cycle is made up of birth, growth, maturing, declining, and death. Every life passes through that cycle. Birth, growth, maturity, decline, and death. Every organization goes through that cycle. Every church goes through that cycle. But with organizations and with church, instead of maturity at the top of the bell curve, you would put plateau, a leveling off period. Every one of us and every church goes through that cycle. If I were to ask you, at what stage of the cycle in this bell curve are you at as a Christian, where would you put yourself? As a Christian, what stage in this life cycle are you in? Spiritually speaking, are you in the birth stages? Are you still beginning your walk with Christ? Or are you in the growth stages, growing and developing? Or are you in the plateaued area? Are you at the top of the curve and things have leveled off? You're not growing, but you're not losing. You know, things are not like they used to be, but, you know, you're holding on. Or have you passed a bit beyond the crest of the bell curve and you're in the declining stages? Or maybe as a Christian, spiritually speaking, you're facing death. Where would you put yourself on that life cycle as a Christian? What stage do you believe that your church is in? As you consider this church, where would you put this church on that life cycle? Let me explain the dynamics of this graph to you, if I can, please. Healthy Christians and healthy church life. Healthy Christian life and healthy church life is born out of a vision that God has for His people and a vision that they have for God and His kingdom. That's the birth stage. It's born out of a healthy vision that God has for His people, that God has for you as an individual, that God has for the church, and the vision that I as an individual and we as a church collectively have for God and His kingdom. We dream of a redemptive ministry. And by that, we dream about reclaiming what rightfully belongs to God. We dream about giving God our lives. What is the remainder of our lives? The rest of our lives? What days or years that we have left in our lives? All that Satan has taken away from us in sin, we want to redeem. We want to reclaim for Christ. Our talent, our intellect, our abilities, our influence, our resources. We want to give to the Lord. That's redemptive. We want to tell people about Jesus. We want the church to be actively engaged in reaching people for the kingdom of God. That's redemptive. So we dream of a redemptive ministry in our own personal lives, in our home, reclaiming our children, our brothers and our sisters and our parents for Jesus Christ, reclaiming our church and our community for the Lord. We sense and we share what God is calling us to do. As an individual, I have an understanding of my calling. As a church, we have an understanding of our calling. As Christians involved, we have an understanding of what God is calling us to do. Then we take ownership of that dream. We take ownership and we join together and we organize to make that dream a reality. That's the birth phase of this life cycle. Is that where you're at? in your Christian walk, in your spiritual stage in life? Are you at the birth stage? Do you believe that this church is still in that birth stage? Then the Christian and the Christian church defines their belief through Bible study. We clarify those beliefs through the doctrines that we embrace. We articulate those beliefs through a mission statement that we establish in our own thinking. And that begins to form and to shape and to motivate our life and to channel our energies and resources in life. And then we embrace those beliefs through worship and through ministry. We set goals and we set priorities in ministry for our lives. Then we organize and we develop plans by which that ministry is going to be carried out. And those goals and those priorities are going to be reached. That's the growth phase of this life cycle. Are you in that phase in your life as a Christian? Do you believe that this church is in that phase of its life? As a Christian church, that's the growth phase. But if the Christian and the Christian church doesn't take steps, periodically take steps to be renewed and to be revitalized, we'll begin to crest the bell curve and we will level off. As a Christian and as a church, we will plateau. Growth stops and maintenance begins. We expend energy and resources to maintain our existence without seeing any significant results. The Christian and the Christian church sees itself running on autopilot. We're going, but we're not in control. And we're not accomplishing, we're just existing. We're going through life, but we're not living it. That's the plateaued stage. People experience that. Churches experience that. If we don't revive and re-engage in worship and in ministry, then we crest the top of the curve and we begin going down the declining slope. And the decline is characterized by, first of all, nostalgia. Nostalgia sets in as we think of the way things were instead of the way things ought to be. Do you find yourself in that frame of mind? Looking back and remembering the way things were very fondly and not looking ahead and thinking about the way things ought to be, the way things should be, the way things could be. I know as we grow older in the physical life, we begin to embrace nostalgia. I used to think that that would never happen to me, but I find that very, very true. My oldest daughter reminded me the other day that the music that I enjoy are the oldie goldies. And that I oftentimes, because I listen to that kind of music, I'm being nostalgic. Looking back on the years, looking back on the days back when, and finding an escape. Is that where you're at as a Christian? Is that where we're at as a church? We begin to doubt ourselves, and we begin to doubt our effectiveness. We begin to say to ourselves that things are not working like they used to. Our goals and our priorities are questioned, if not outright dropped altogether. We stop leading others and we stop following others. As a Christian, we don't follow the leaders of our faith any longer. And we don't lead others in the faith any longer. As a church, we stop leading people into a more dynamic walk and relationship with Christ. And we stop following others in that same walk. We stop leading and we stop following. Ministry involvement is no longer based on what we can give, but rather on what we hope to to get. We become ineffective in reaching others, in ministering to others, and inspiring others. And as individuals and as a church, we become spiritually dissatisfied and disillusioned. That's the declining stage on this growth curve. And if nothing takes place to keep the individual or the church from sliding down the backside of the slope, they enter into spiritual death. Spiritual death occurs when we become alienated from God's vision for us as individuals and as a church. We no longer see what God sees. And what's even worse, we don't care. God is not an important part of who I am or what I do. And God is no longer an important part of what the church is really all about. We've lost the vision of who God is and God's kingdom in our midst. Life goes on, and we continue to exist, but ministry stops, and we die spiritually. Again, I ask you, as a Christian, where are you on this graph? At what stage of the life cycle do you best identify with? And where do you feel that this church fits on that graph? There are five basic fundamental pillars of ministry that we embrace as Christians and as a church. And they're given to us very clearly in the Bible. They are, simply put, worship, outreach, ministry, fellowship, and discipleship. If every Christian involved himself or herself in these five activities, in these five disciplines, in these five ministries, they are guaranteed spiritual growth and development in the kingdom of God. If every church disciplined itself in these five activities, in these five ministries, it will continue to be a healthy, vibrant, growing, developing church. Worship, outreach, ministry, fellowship, and discipleship. If you look in your church bulletin, if you open it up and look on the left side of the page, you'll find that we have embraced these five pillars as a church, and we've restated them in our mission statement. And they are as follows. We want to be engaged in exalting Jesus Christ in personal and corporate worship. We want to be engaged in exalting Jesus Christ in personal and corporate worship. That's something that we strive for as Christian individuals and as a Christian church. Secondly, we want to be engaged in evangelizing the lost through personal and corporate witness. And that's not only evangelism insofar as personal testimony is concerned, but also engaging in mission activity. Reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. Thirdly, encouraging the saved by ministering to each other. We all have needs, spiritual and physical. Family, private, and social. And as Christians and as a Christian church, we want to engage in encouraging brothers and sisters in the Lord by ministering to each other. And then fourthly, we want to edify the church, build up the church, strengthen the church by our involvement and by our development as Christian men and women. And then finally, we want to equip the saints for the work of ministry by being discipled and by discipling others in the faith and in the practice of Christianity. Now again, these are basic and these are fundamental and these are explained in the Bible as being those elements necessary for spiritual growth and development as individuals and as a church. This is God's vision for His people. God wants us to look up and to look out and to look in and to look under and to look all around us and embrace these areas of activities so that we might grow and develop as God wants us to. A healthy Christian and a healthy church dreams of ways in which these five ministries can become dynamic in life. Not static, but dynamic. A growing Christian and a growing church plans to engage these ministries and then engages them. We want to be both healthy and growing. Where do you fit in that bell curve as a Christian individual? And where do you believe our church fits into that bell curve as a Christian church? I want to be honest with you this morning, and I want to share with you my convictions. I believe that as a Christian, that I am at the plateaued stage in my own personal walk with the Lord. In my own Christian life, I believe that spiritually I have plateaued. And I'll explain to you why that is in just a few moments. I also believe, as the pastor of the church, that our church is in the plateaued stage of its life and its ministry, and it is beginning to move toward the declining side of the life cycle. I believe as a church that we are plateaued and that we're moving into the declining side of the life cycle. I believe that we are losing the vision of what God wants us to be. And I have reasons for that, and I'm going to share those with you right now. First of all, a declining Christian and a declining church is typified by these certain characteristics. First of all, they spend more time focusing in on problems rather than on ministry. And I believe that that's where we're at. I challenge any one of you engaged in any ministry in the church, whether you're a deacon, listen to your deacon's meetings. If you're involved in some kind of leadership activity with other individuals, whether it's Sunday school or discipleship, whether it's outreach or inreach, listen to what goes on in your meetings. Do you spend more time talking about problems and less time talking about ministry? A declining Christian and a declining church spends far more time discussing problems and issues and less time discussing ministry. That's where I'm at as a person. I find myself spending more time talking to people and listening to people talk about problems than I spend discussing ministry plans. Secondly, we become reactive rather than proactive. We defend ourselves and what we do, or we excuse ourselves for what we should be doing but don't do. And I find that quite a bit, not only in the lives of individuals but also in the life of the church. And I find that in my own life. Being reactive rather than proactive. I also sense that we've become apathetic and comfortable doing little or nothing in ministry rather than taking initiative for ministry. As a whole, now I know that there are some individuals who are out there busting their hump and they're dreaming dreams and they're getting engaged and they're trying to involve people. But as a church, as a whole, I find ourselves more comfortable being right where we're at than being motivated to move on in our growth and development as a church. And if it is characteristic of the church, then it follows it's also characteristic of the members of the church, because that's really what the church is. People. The church is made up of Christian people. I believe that we are teetering on the precipice of decline. I really do. Baptisms are the lowest than they've been in 20 years. In 2007, we baptized 40 people. Last year, we baptized 5. And that's the lowest number of baptisms that we have recorded in over 20 years. We're not reaching people for the kingdom of God. We're not telling people about Jesus. If you look in your bulletin, you'll notice also that we're going to end this year, budget-wise, in the red by some $10,000. I know the economy is bad. And I know that people are losing their jobs, and I know that people are being laid off, and I know that businesses are closing down and moving out of the area. But we are giving less support to the work of the kingdom of God that's reflected in the year-end budget deficit for the first time in a long time. If you go back and you look at our Annie Armstrong Easter offering for home missions, we didn't reach our goal. And if you look at what is being given toward the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for foreign missions, we probably won't meet that goal either. And the church budget is suffering from a $10,000 deficit. And again, I understand and I realize that the economic situation necessitates that people be more and more conservative. But I ask you, dear friends, did we spend as much or more on Christmas presents this year, on vacations this year, on our own personal goals this year, on our hobbies this year, on our toys this year? Or is that also reflected in our lifestyle as Christians? We have ministries that have no leaders. And we've talked about this Sunday after Sunday. And we've asked people to come and to step up to the plate and assist us in doing the work of ministry in the church. Many of us are shouldering 4 and 5 and 6 responsibilities as leaders in the church. And it's spreading us very thin. We have Sunday school classes that don't have teachers. We have committees that don't have members. We have agencies in the church that don't have enough people to carry on their work. We have ministries with no leaders. And the thing that hurts even more so is there are very few who are willing to step up to the plate and say, I'm willing to be trained. I'm willing to take a responsible role in the fellowship. And then there is a prevailing attitude among a lot of people that we want to be ministered to rather than to minister to others. And is that what Christ has called us to do? Has Christ called us to be ministered to, or has Christ called us to minister to others? And I believe one of the final characteristics of a church in decline, and certainly one of the characteristics of a Christian in decline, is that we have become worldly in our attitudes and in our actions. The disciplines of the Christian faith have been put on the shelf, and the customs and the practices of our society have become the greater desire of the heart and of the life. And that doesn't have to be expressed verbally, dear friends. Just look at your lifestyle and look at what goes on in the church. These are all characteristics of a Christian life in decline and a Christian church in decline. And that's why I believe that as a church, and that's why I believe that as a Christian individual, I have reached a plateau, and I believe our church has reached the plateau. We are not moving ahead. We are holding on to what we have in hopes that somehow, some way, something is going to happen that will make a difference. Now, that's the bad news. Let me share with you the good news. I'm not happy with where I'm at as a Christian. I am dissatisfied with the stage of spiritual growth and development in my life. I'm not happy being where I am. And I am not happy where my church is at on that graph. I want to dream again. I want to recapture what God has called me to do and what He has commissioned this church to do. And so with that in mind, I want to commit to the Lord and I want to commit to you as your pastor to do the following this next year. First of all, I want to work as a leader with our leaders to plan the ministries and to minister those plans in and through the church. I want to sit down with our department heads. I want to sit down with our ministry leaders, with our pastors, and with our committees to evaluate our ministries and to drop what isn't working and to develop what will work to reach the church and to reach the community for Jesus. There are things that we are spending a lot of time doing and a lot of money doing that just don't work. And we need to get rid of them. And there are things that have been proven over the test of time that work consistently if those things are applied. And we've left those things out. We've dropped them like a hot rock. I want us to get back as the leaders of the fellowship. I want us to sit down as the movers and the shakers of the ministry. I want us to get together as those of whom the church has entrusted the life and the ministry of this fellowship. I want to sit down with all of our leaders and I want us to take a thorough assessment of what we are doing and ask ourselves the question, why are we doing this? And if it's not bringing honor and glory to the name of Christ, if it's not extending the borders of His kingdom, if it's not ministering to the fellowship, if it's not building up the church, then I want us to get rid of it. But I want us to focus on those things that will help us accomplish those five pillar ministries of the church. Secondly, I want to take the initiative and responsibility for ministry in my own life and in the life of the church, even if nobody else does. Outreach through evangelism and missions has to be reengaged. Southern Baptists have been known throughout their history to be a people of the gospel, reaching people involved in evangelism and involved in missions, and we haven't been. We are happy to give our money, but we do not give our time and our effort and our energy, and that has got to change. And I'm asking the leadership of the church to reinstate evangelism explosion as the primary method of training our people in evangelism and getting busy reaching the community for Christ. I want us to think about ministry through our mission work. I want us to get together and I want to send mission teams out again as a church. I want us to go back to Mexico. I want us to go back to Japan. I want us to go back to Guatemala. I want us to go back to the Ukraine. I want us to go wherever God wants us to go, but I want us to get up and go. I want to stop talking about missions and I want us to get back to doing missions. I want us to stop talking about winning the lost and get involved winning the lost. I believe that there are multiplied hundreds, if not thousands of people all around us that are dying without Jesus Christ. And I still believe that a lost soul is a damned soul. And I think we have lost sensitivity to that reality. There are people who are dying without Jesus and they're going into eternity without Christ. They're going to spend eternity in hell. I want to wake up and I want to face each new day with this attitude. If this is your last stop before eternity, I want to tell you about Jesus. Then I want to renew and further build upon the dream that was the Lord's when He established this church nearly 50 years ago. I want to be and I want this church to be what the Lord wants it to be. Not what I want it to be and not what anybody else wants it to be. I want it to be what the Lord wants it to be. And I want to be what God wants me to be. There have been people who've said, Pastor, you need to do more of this, or Pastor, you need to think more of that, or Pastor, you need to... Listen, dear friends, you didn't call me, and you don't control me. When I stop being led by the Spirit of God, and when I stop being under His control, it's time to get a new pastor. I want to be what God wants me to be. And I want this church to be what God wants this church to be. And if we have to go back and redream the dream, if we have to go back and recapture the vision, then so be it. We have got to come back to the place where we realize that God has put us here for a purpose. And until that purpose is fulfilled, then we are not engaging in His vision. It's my commitment to serve this congregation, and that includes all of you. I confess to you my sin that some of you I have neglected. Some haven't been in my home for fellowship, and I haven't been in your homes to fellowship with you. And so I make the commitment to you and to the Lord today that it is my dream that every member of the Lord's congregation here in this church will have an ongoing contact from myself and from my wife this year. Now, there's over 450 active members in this church. And I don't know how I'm going to be able to accomplish that, but I don't care. The Lord has moved upon me to do this, and the Lord's going to see that it gets done. I'm just going to trust Him in that. We have been called to serve, and Nancy and I are going to honor that calling. We are going to maintain an ongoing contact with every member, with every family in our fellowship. And then finally, I want to minister. I want to shepherd. I want to lead. I want to care for the Christians and for the non-Christians in this community. I don't know how I'm going to be able to accomplish all of these things, but I'm going to leave that up to the Lord and His grace and His power. But that is my commitment to Him, and that is my commitment to you. I'm tired of being where I'm at spiritually. And I believe it grieves the Lord that our church is where it's at spiritually. I want to dream again. And I want this church to dream again. I want you to dream with me. I want you to dream of what the Lord can do in your life, in my life, in our lives. And I want us to dream what we can do in the Lord's kingdom every day, every week, every month, every year, for as long as it takes until the Lord comes again. Have you stopped dreaming? Have you lost your spiritual vision? Do you see yourself in spiritual decline as a mother, as a wife, as a sister, as a brother, as a husband, as a father, as a son or as a daughter? Do you see yourself in spiritual decline as a church leader, as a church member? Dear friends, it's not too late to dream again. It's not too late to recapture the vision that God has for you and that God has for your church. Father, we have become complacent. In many ways, Lord God, we have become apathetic. And Lord, oftentimes we simply just do not take seriously your claim on our lives. We've lost the vision. We've forgotten the dream. But if for many of us, Lord God, the beginning of a new year means the beginning of a new era, a new time, a fresh start, a clean slate, turning over a new leaf, whatever euphemism we want to use, then let us, Lord God, at this time, at the crest of a new year, the beginning of a new year, let us at this time, Father, recapture your dream for us, your vision for us. God, help us to put aside everything that destroys that vision and robs us of that dream, and help us to dream again. Help us to dream, Lord God, of the impossible that only you can do. Help us dream again, Lord, of your kingdom its power, its glory, its majesty, its influence, its effectiveness, its fruitfulness in this place once again. Help us dream, Lord, of every member actively engaged in spiritual growth and development. Help us to dream, and in that dream see ourselves not sitting in pews, but actively engaged in ministry, outreach, inreach, upreach, reaching all around us for souls. God, help us as a church to dream again, to not be satisfied with where we're at, but to dream, Lord God, of where you want us to be in the days, the weeks, the months, and even the year ahead. And if there is a soul here today, Lord God, that doesn't have a dream because they don't have Jesus in their heart, Jesus is not in their life, then I pray, Lord God, that today they will see themselves in your kingdom, a child of God. They will see themselves as one drawn by your Holy Spirit to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And today they will come and confess with their lips the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in their heart that you've raised him from the dead. Today they'll come and they'll be saved. But I also pray for my brothers and sisters that they, like me, will be dissatisfied with where they're at spiritually. And they will hunger and they will thirst, they will long, Father, to back away from the edge of a plateaued life and step back into the stage of growth and development. And that today they will make the commitment, Lord God, to dream again, to see you actively involved in their lives, and to see themselves actively involved in your kingdom. Father, you know every need here. You know every soul here. You know what we long for. You know what we desire. You know, Lord God, where we're at. Speak to us. Move upon us. Accomplish today the stirring up of our lives by your Holy Spirit. And then show us, Lord God, the direction that you want us to move in. These things I pray in Christ's name. Stand with me if you will. David is going to lead us in this time of invitation. Dear friends, if your heart's desire is to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you come and we will talk with you. We will minister to you. We will counsel with you on how to receive Christ. Maybe you've already received Jesus in your heart, but you've not been obedient to the Lord. You've not followed through with baptism. You've not followed through with church membership. You've not followed through with discipleship. I invite you to come, dear friends, and to get out of the pew and get involved in the kingdom. I invite you to dream again. And Christian friend, I invite you also. You know where you're at in your walk with the Lord. You know what stage you're in the spiritual growth curve, the spiritual life cycle. You know what you're doing and what you're not doing, and you know why. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. I want to say to you, I want to implore to you, dear friends, to dream again. See yourself in God's kingdom. See God working in you. And then take whatever steps are necessary for you to make that dream become a reality in your life. David, you lead us as we sing. Church, you respond as the Spirit moves upon you.
The cross upon which Jesus died.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.